Good morning. It's now 7:35 Central Time from the Faith Radio Network. I am Austin Hill and appreciate you being with us. It's an honor for me to be with you. Weekday morning, 6 till 8, as we seek to connect faith to all of life. Let's talk about parenthood and our kids for just a few moments. If you are the parent of an adult child, hopefully your child has indeed entered into adulthood in a full sort of way, such that they're living independently, able to be productive and provide for themselves and such. That idyllic scenario, however, is becoming less and less common. Begs an interesting question. How long do parents financially support their adult children? Nobody better to tackle that one and to answer those questions better than John and Kendra Smiley, authors, counselors, parenting experts extraordinaire. They join us once again on our guest line. Good morning, John and Kendra. Welcome back to Faith Radio.
Good morning.
Good morning, Austin.
I want to, just so we all understand, tell us about your family. You are the parents of adult children, but give us the age ranges, if you would.
Well, right now they are, 36, 34, and 30, all males.
Mm-hmm. And you've, I hear about their families, their spouses, their careers and such. You have seen the parenting process, not only in your own household, but you've seen it unfold in other households. And sometimes things don't always go as planned. Tell us about the scenario, what transpires in a family when parents, parents are sitting around looking at each other saying, my goodness, our son or our daughter or whatever should be paying their own, their freight by now. What happens in that scenario?
Well, we actually got this question recently, and it was worded exactly but with the words, how long should we as parents financially bail out our adult son? Mm-hmm. And that we found that really interesting. You know, bailing out I thought it was fascinating, the term they chose to use. So obviously there were some things going on. As far as our kids, I really didn't answer your question in full. One of our goals that we started from an early age was to help them earn money. And we had different ways that we did that. We cleaned our church, our family of five, and the boys shared all the money for cleaning the church. They learned how to take that responsibility. And all that money went into savings accounts for college. Mm-hmm. And I have to say, Austin, some parents would probably go, oh, when they hear this. But because we were so convinced that they needed and they were capable of going to school, we said, now, when you get ready to go to college, this money is yours. Now, if you happen to choose not to go to college, we get half of it. And so it was kind of a little incentive to do what we felt they were more than qualified to do. And so we thought that if they at least had enough money to pay for the first 2 years of college, of college with scholarships that they earned also, mm-hmm. they could probably earn enough to make it through college. But that's a lot of times when parents start financially helping their kids.
Right, and I think when, like the question that we got asked by these parents, how long should we bail out our son? And obviously the son was in his 20s or, late 20s, someplace in that realm. And parents should start thinking about this long before they find themselves in the predicament of, as these parents said, financially bailing out their adult child.
Yeah, very interesting. John and Kendra Smiley, parenting experts. They are on our guest line here at Faith Radio as we talk about parents who financially support their adult children. It seems to me, based on what you've written on this subject, when you were confronted with that question, how long do we, quote unquote, bail out our son financially? It seems to me you're making the distinction between a son or a daughter, for that matter, and unfortunate financial circumstances that are purely circumstantial. A crisis unfolded or something went wrong, no fault of the individual adult child, and a son or daughter's bad choices that have brought about the financial troubles. Tell us about that distinction between circumstantial versus bad choices kinds of scenarios.
Well, there are sometimes when your kids might need some additional assistance. And like you said, beyond their control, things like a vehicle breaks down and they need it, or there's downsizing at work and they lose their job, or maybe it's they want to buy their first home and they need a little help with the down payment. You know, those sorts of things you can make a decision about and see if you can afford. A lot of folks in our situation with adult children are putting themselves at risk financially because of bailing out their kids, as this person wrote to us. But I think it's important to take a look at your own situation, too.
Right. In our situation, one of our sons happened to have their third child, and they didn't have a large enough vehicle with all the car seats and things that have to be done, and weren't financially able to have a different vehicle, to buy a different vehicle to accommodate all those children. And so Kendra and I helped him out. He knew what was going on with a vehicle that would accommodate those kids. And then over the course, we gave them special rates on interest. We didn't charge him interest and that kind of thing that you can do as a parent. And he understood that he was to pay that back, and that all went through. And so these are the kind of things that Kendra is talking about in a family where mom and dad, you can help them out in a pinch. I think the thing that we are very much against is enabling your kids to be financially irresponsible. And that's what we see a lot today, is kids are just mooching off of their parents, and the parents aren't teaching them or have not taught them how to be financially responsible. And so they just basically are on the dole, and the parents get stuck because they don't, just like these parents that ask us that question, they find themselves in a situation, how in the world do we get out of this? We've been allowing our son or daughter to take our money. There haven't been any any rules or things set up, and we find ourselves just being the people that are giving our kids money with no end in sight.
Yeah. John and Kendra Smiley, parenting experts on our guest line here on Faith Radio. I hear what you're saying about the propensity, maybe, for some people to enable destructive and irresponsible behavior. It sounds like you're seeing that happen more and more with parents. Another trend that is happening, and I think they're most certainly connected, and that is that we have this preponderance of millennials, young people anywhere from age 18 to early 30s, who, despite the fact that some of them have earned college degrees, they played by the rules, they got good grades, they studied, they got the diploma, they just can't seem to find anything in the labor market. They can't get a foothold into a place of employment and build on that and start creating careers. I worry about the social costs, not to mention the family and individual costs to that trend. But those trends seem to be happening all at the same time. Young people can't seem to find their place in the marketplace. And you're saying that you observe parents enabling destructive behavior. Help us sort those two trends out, if you would.
Oh, I think they're really two separate things. You know, destructive behavior, or something where the child has found himself in a bad, and when I say child, adult child, in a bad situation because of life choices. You know, they couldn't keep a job because they were irresponsible. They didn't show up for work on time. You know, those sorts of things. Or they're accruing debt because they are spending. So many kids are leaving their parents' homes these days and saying, you know, I really like the fact that we had three different televisions, and that we had, you know, dish, and we had all these things. And so that's what I want to start out life with. That's different than someone who is actively pursuing a career and a position that they can, where they can work.
Right, and I think the other thing that you addressed, which is very important, and that is this idea that they go through and get a college degree, and then they can't find the work where they where their degree is. And I got a great example of that. I just talked to a young millennial, hadn't been a month ago, and he found himself in this exact situation. Went to a major university, got a degree, got some extensive courses after that, tried to find a job in that area, could not, came back and found a job. He actually etches stones today and had developed his own business, which was not in his degreed area, but he couldn't find a job there, so he kept looking, and now he's an entrepreneur, he has his own business. And so I think that's what's not happening with a lot of the millennials, is they think, my gosh, I can't find a job where my degree is, and they don't keep looking. They don't look at other areas where there might be some work, but they won't work in that area, if you understand that.
Also, I'm holding out for a management position? No. Maybe you have to kind of downgrade your expectations of that first job, and then you can get in that field, prove your worth, and get that management position.
Yep. Yeah, no, that's very well stated. John and Kendra Smiley, they are parenting experts. They're on our guest line. We'll continue with them in just a moment and get to some hopeful thoughts. What do you do if you're a parent or even a grandparent in this situation where you're watching an adult child in your life faltering, really struggling to become a financially independent and productive person? What's the appropriate response? We'll get that insight from John and Kendra Smiley as we continue. 7:46 from Faith Radio. I'm Alston Hill. Don't go anywhere.
Back to Alston Hill in the morning. Questions or comments for the show? You can leave them on our show page at myfaithradio.com.
Financially supporting adult children, a challenge that lots of parents and I suppose even grandparents are facing. John and Kendra Smiley on our guest line here at 7:48 Central Time on the Faith Radio Network. They are parenting experts. They are parents themselves as well as counselors, and they've got some real wisdom for this. What do you say to the parent, John and Kendra, who's listening to our conversation and saying, I don't know if I'm enabling bad behavior. I don't know when to write the check or charge it on my card or when I shouldn't. I've probably done some things right. I've done some things wrong. But what I do know is my son or daughter or grandchild is struggling, and it's just killing me. What's the good starting point for that person?
Well, I would say, you know, helping them get started and then helping them build fiscal responsibility, helping them develop that. So if they need a booster shot, so to speak, it's not a bad idea to get them going. But at the same time, it's not a long-term solution.
Right. And I think that's probably the biggest issue is there's a way out. There's an end to this thing of enabling them financially. And what do I mean by that? I mean that as mom and dad, you say, you sit down, have a conversation. The first thing, Austin, that needs to happen, and I think we find this a great deal, and that's mom and dad getting on the same page. Mm-hmm. That's very difficult if they're not. One wants to get the son or daughter off the dole and the other one doesn't. That's almost a no-starter in the parenting realm. So first of all, be on the same page and then have an end point. So you sit down with your son or daughter and say, okay, we're going to make a change here. This is why we're going to make a change. We think we're enabling you financially. We want you to get out there, and we'll give you X amount of time, whatever they think necessary, 6 months, 8 months, a year, whatever it is. And they say, you know, this is going to go on for one more year. You've got 1 year mm-hmm. to find some employment, to get out on your own, and then it's going to come to an end. And that's the thing. If a parent finds themselves in this realm, come to an ending point so that you are making progress here, so that this thing just has a never-ending time frame.
You know, one other thing with that, Austin, we have three kids, and we actually have a young girl who now calls our home. She's in college. Mm-hmm. And but with our three boys, we let them know when one son borrowed money with, you know, this is what he borrowed to, you know, buy his home or whatever. Hey, guys, should we both bump off? He's already gotten this part of his inheritance, and made that real clear. So everybody always knew in our family what was happening, so that no child felt like, well, yeah, I've been out on my own since I graduated from college, and they're still helping him, and that's not fair. Well, ultimately, it is all fair. You try to keep it, especially in the realm of finances, as fair as you can.
Yeah, sure. John and Kendra Smiley, there is this this term, this expression, and it really gets overused and it becomes kind of discarded, I suppose, as times, as sort of belonging to the realm of psychobabble, and it's it becomes kind of a cliche in some respects. But I think there's merit to it, and what you're getting at here, I think, requires, in some cases, a modicum of tough love. It's difficult to look at our son or daughter or niece or nephew or grandchild and say, I love you. I'm sorry for the suffering that you're enduring here, but I can't continue financing you forever. You're going to have to suffer and struggle and figure this out. When does a parent need to draw that line in the sand and say no more? Are there some basic guidelines to when the tough love needs to kick in?
Well, I think the first thing is to look at the word love and know that I just had lunch yesterday with a colleague of ours, and he was talking about a situation he was in, and he said, oh, I feel like I'm shortchanging my kids. And what he was actually doing was not shortchanging his kids. He had the wrong perspective. Sometimes we have the wrong perspective on love. Teaching your child fiscal responsibility is a loving thing.
Right, and I think, Austin, to answer your question in the sense of how do we know, actions and decisions give us away, and they give our kids away as well. If I've got a son or a daughter sitting down on the couch watching TV or playing electronic games all day, not going out there looking for a job, or the attitude is such that you know that they are basically taking advantage of the situation financially, then that's definitely the time to say, well, we have definitely, as parents, made a mistake here. So mom and dad out there, actions and decisions give all of us away, and they certainly, if we're looking at it truthfully, they give our sons and daughters away as to what their goals are.
Final thoughts, a word for pastors, if you would, John and Kendra Smiley, who may be struggling with young adults in the church. And I hear this, frankly, I get contacted about this frequently from pastors who say they got a huge problem with men in particular in the church who just are not able, for whatever reason, to be productive. What do you tell pastors in that situation?
Well, I would say that for a pastor to start out, the men are still, our young millennials are still at home, to talk to mom and dad to help them get their sons or our daughters going. And then if the men are just not productive, then if a pastor is counseling them directly, I look at that and say, biblically, that's one of our, as a man, to be the provider, to be the person that goes out there and works heartily unto the Lord. And so for me, it's very difficult to see a man who doesn't want to be productive. If they want to be productive and just can't, and we've talked about that. But anyway, as a pastor, I definitely would urge them to have that man get out there and be productive.
Well, there was one point in our life where John actually had three jobs. Now, they were very flexible, so it wasn't like he was doing 3 8-to-5s, impossible. Mm. But he had three different ways that he brought income into our family. Why? Because for us, we decided it was best for mom to be at home, and that was to cover the bills and to make sure we were all doing fine and still spending time with the kids. So you do what you have to do sometimes.
Yeah, and one other thing that I would leave that person with from a pastor's standpoint, and that is, Kendra and I say quite a bit, what song did God put inside you?
Yes.
God made us all with something that he wants us to do, wants us to achieve. What song did he put inside you? If I were the pastor, I'd be asking that person that. And go out there and look for that. Pray about it. See what God has put inside you, and then go after it.
Very well stated, as always. John and Kendra Smiley, family counselors and parenting experts, find their thoughts on this all-important issue of whether or not to financially support adult children. We've got it on our website at myfaithradio.com. John and Kendra, as always, love what you do. Thanks very much for spending some time with us this morning. We'll talk again soon.
Thank you, Austin.
7:55 from the Faith Radio Network. I am Austin Hill. Our program wraps up in moments.